Blog Talk Radio.
This is the EWN Radio Network. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
Hi, this is Steve, and welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. You know, we are here to help you thrive. Kathy and I love helping business women thrive in every aspect of their life and business. But let's be real. Sometimes our lives aren't at exactly the perfect place we want it to be. Crises, they come up, they arise. And really, it's not that uncommon for all of us to want to avoid things when we come in a crisis. In fact, Dr. Joy talked to us back in January about the fact that the natural human experience to trauma in our lives is to withdraw, and that what we need to do in order to live our best lives as well as be able to find our real true voice is to be able to really reach out. We need friends in our lives. Sometimes our friends are just there for help and support, and sometimes we have friends that specialize in things that are just terrifying to even think about. Perhaps one of the biggest ones for women especially, although I've been told that men can be diagnosed with breast cancer as well, is the concept of being diagnosed with breast cancer. And there's just no other place where we can find ourselves really wanting to hide from the world than when an extreme situation like that comes into our lives. That is the time, more than anything, that we need to reach out to people who want to be there for us. In fact, our real empowerment in life comes from when we bring everything that we do to the table, and that's even the things that scare us, the things that we are going through that we wish weren't but are, so that we can live our best life and we can get through the most difficult and frightening things by having people who are here to help. And so I am so grateful today to be joined by two amazing ladies, Sharon Hennepin and Becky Olson, from an organization here in Portland called Breast Friends. They're going to share with us today some ways to learn how to ask for help and not go it alone, especially in our times of crisis. So I ask you to help me join in and welcome Sharon and Becky. Hi, ladies. How are you today?
We're great. How are you?
Doing great, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So tell us a little bit about your organization. You know, what are you guys' backgrounds? Where did the organization come from? How did it get started?
Well, you know, it's funny because we just are celebrating our 15th year of existence. And it's so interesting because I actually went through breast cancer in 1993, so almost 22 years ago. And what I found is it's a pretty lonely go if you don't ask for help. And so what happened when I went through my journey through cancer, then my friend Becky, we worked together for many years. She was diagnosed 3 years after I was. And so I knew how lonely that experience can be. And so I did just some little things for her, you know, just kind of keeping people that we worked with aware of what she was going through, kind of reminded them of her address and phone number and email and, you know, that kind of stuff. And it ended up being a little bit of a different experience. So when we finished, when she finished all of that, and then a few years later, we found ourselves having lunch while Becky unfortunately had another scare, and we had this amazing lunch, and we came up with the idea of, okay, what's missing in the breast cancer world? What, why have we stayed friends all this time? And what we can do about it? And over that lunch, we actually started Breast Friends.
You know, and it's kind of an interesting perspective that we sort of landed on that day. When Sharon went through her experience first, I was one of her friends who said to her what so many people say, you know, gosh, you know, Sharon, I'm so sorry. If there's anything I can do, would you let me know? And of course she said, yes, I will, thank you. But she didn't let me know. And so I, you know, it's really easy as your friends are kind of thinking about reaching out. Well, she hasn't called. She must be okay. You know, she's home during the day. She's got her husband and she's got her kids. So they're probably taking good care of her. So I'm sure she's fine, or she would have asked. She said she would. Well, come to find out, that's not the way it works. excuse me. So one of the things that we developed that day over lunch, or one of the positions that we took on at What Was Missing, was teaching the friends and family how to provide proactive support so that the patient doesn't have to reach out necessarily, although we always encourage them to do so. But it's hard to reach out. It's hard to ask your friends to come over and bring you food or come do your laundry or something. It's hard. So we decided that we needed to teach the people how to be more proactive and offer that support in a way that it would be accepted. So that's kind of where we started. Of course, over time, it's evolved tremendously into a lot of other stuff.
Right. It's the emotional support that we really try to give. And so if we give it firsthand, or we teach the family and friends how to give better emotional support, that's what Breast Friends is all about.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know with all we went through with Kathy's mom, who just passed in February, we found that, you know, there's a lot of things you just don't even know to ask for, or you're so busy that you'd love to have somebody come and, you know, come and help you, but to take the time out of all the other things you're doing to then also ask somebody to do something for you, it just becomes so much of a bother, and it's real easy to become overloaded with those kind of things. How common do you think it is?
Well, I'm sorry, what was the question?
How common do you think it is that that people really don't get the kind of help they need because they either don't know it exists, or you know, they're just too busy to even ask for it?
Probably 90%.
it's actually too often,
yeah,
anyway.
it's very often. I mean, people just don't know. When we share this story, it is amazing how many women will come up and go, "Oh, I couldn't believe you were talking right to me." You know, so it's very common. And one of our missions and our purpose is to make sure that no woman goes through cancer alone. And so if we can either teach her friends how to provide better support to her, or in the case of some people who really don't have those friendship circles, maybe they're new in town, you know, for whatever reason, they feel pretty much alone, we end up being that support system to them. And we've got great volunteers that want to help and reach out. So, you know, not everybody has that friendship circle that they can rely on, but they still need support. So we try to provide it at one of two ends, either be the support or train their support. So.
Right. And another thing, too, honestly, even if you have an amazing support group, you know, your family, your friends want to be there for you, making dinners, you know, just making your life easier. The problem is still they don't get it. They don't understand what you're going through. They don't understand all the emotional upheaval that's going on, because we have found that the woman who's been diagnosed is spending a lot of her time and energy telling everybody else that she's going to be okay, which is great, but she really has no idea. So in her lonely times, in her alone times, that's when she's scared to death, and she doesn't know that she's going to be okay. When I was diagnosed, the only people I knew who'd had cancer had died, and so that's, you know, unfortunate, but it happens. And nowadays, of course, there's so many more wonderful treatments and so many advances and so many ways of getting to the early detection and all of that. But still, that fear of you being okay, you don't know. You really don't. And talking to another survivor is so important.
You know, when Sharon mentioned that about not really during the alone times, I was chuckling because I was remembering something that's kind of funny. When I went through my alone time, you know, obviously I'm still here. I'm a three-time survivor, and I'm still here, and I'm feisty as can be. But when I went through it the first time, I had no idea. But I remember one day in particular, I was alone, and I started thinking about my kids, and if I died, who would my husband, how would he raise them, and would he get remarried? By the end of the day, I had his wife picked out. I figured she'd be wearing a size 2, which I don't. And I was so mad, I pictured my kids calling her mommy. By the time he walked in the door, he was in so much trouble. He had no idea what hit him. So alone time can be very detrimental to a marriage.
Yeah, and to your health, honestly, because it can really take its toll.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of depression, anxiety, you know, that's associated with a cancer diagnosis and treatment. I mean, it's hard. It's really hard.
Well, and especially as a mom, because there's such a dynamic with moms. Nobody teaches it to them, but every mom I've ever met, you know, they take everything on themselves, everything that the kids need, everything that husband needs, everybody in the whole world around them, they take on to themselves, except for the one and only person, and that's them. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
So true. Yeah. It's amazing how we take it all on, and we want to make sure that, you know, everybody else is doing okay, but the problem is we're, you know, shortchanging ourselves sometimes.
One of the services or one of the things I think people really appreciate about us is they can be taking on that role at home where they have to be this, you know, person that is just in charge, but then they can call us and they can just completely break down. And we hear a lot of tears and a lot of anxiety, and but that's, we're safe. We're a safe harbor where you can call and do that if that's what needs to happen. So
yeah, and by the time we get done with them, they're usually laughing and they're, you know, they're feeling a lot better.
Yeah.
They feel a lot more hopeful mm-hmm. and inspired to mm-hmm. okay, I can do this, you
yeah.
know. And
they realize they're not alone too. So
exactly,
and they're not the only one in the whole world who's ever gone through this. So it all works out.
It's so amazing how that's such a universal thing that everybody that goes through it feels like they're the only one who's been through it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm glad to hear that you guys actually give them that constant reminder that it's going to be okay, but also you're not the only one. You're amongst friends. And I just love the name of your organization because of that, you know, the whole thing. So
yeah.
We need to take a break here. We will be back in just a couple of minutes.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. That's managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. As some of you know, I'm blessed to work with my amazing wife, Kathy, and together we want to help you thrive. Our website is wehelpyouthrive.com. That's what we're passionate about. That is what we do. We help you thrive in both your life and your business. We are so excited to be bringing to you Thriving Entrepreneur every week, and we want to help you thrive in every aspect of your life and business. To show you how grateful we are for you listening to our show, and more importantly, to help you on your road as a thriving entrepreneur, I have recorded chapter 1 of my book, 10 Things You Must Have to thrive in life and business. This chapter is about finding and following your passion. I wrote it with the intent of helping you find and develop your passion so that you will share your unique brilliance with the world. You know that we are created for a purpose, and we want to help you shine. So just for listening, we are giving you the expanded audio version of Chapter 1 of 10 Things You Must Have to Thrive in Life and Business, to have all you do be something that you are passionate about. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com/radio and enter your name and email address. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com/radio to hear about all our shows and to get your free gift today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, this is Steve, and I'm here with Sharon and Becky, and we are talking about important stuff having to do with reaching out to people when you need friends, especially if you found yourself diagnosed with breast cancer or you have a friend that has, that reaching out, that taking the step to reach out to a friend is so important. You know, that person, as we learned in the last segment, is probably not going to come to you and say, hey, I could really use a friend today. It's really our responsibility to reach out to those folks and help them through the time. So let's get real practical with this, because I know that breast cancer is one of those things that really scares a lot of people. Let's talk about some of the things that a person can do to to save themselves from it and or to know about it, you know, things like early detection. Talk to us about some of the things we can do to protect ourselves.
Well, the first thing is you're not going to save yourself from it, unfortunately. I have known so many women who, you know, if you looked at the books, have done absolutely everything they could have done, you know, to not get breast cancer. But the reality is the two biggest risks around breast cancer are being a woman and getting older. So you're not gonna necessarily be able to save yourself from it. But there are definitely things that you can do to reduce your risks, and I think that's what's important to understand. Of course, there's lots of different kinds of breast cancer, which again, not everybody realizes, and some of which are fed on estrogen. Becky and I both had estrogen receptors that were positive, meaning that that is what is feeding your cancer. And so, for instance, being a woman, you're going to have estrogen in your system, and even after menopause, you still have some estrogen in your system. So I think what's important to understand there is if you have some excess weight, that sometimes your the excess weight, the fat cells actually store and manufacture estrogen.
Well, specifically, it's the ones around your middle.
Around your middle, exactly.
And unfortunately, as we enter menopause,
yep,
we tend to collect it there. So it's kind of doing us a disservice to keep that weight in that spot. If there's anything you could do to reduce that, that would be a helpful thing.
That would be a helpful thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the normal things, getting some exercise, you know, eating more healthfully, that kind of stuff. Those are always helpful. And honestly, taking some vitamin D is important as well. They haven't totally connected the two, but what they are saying is most women who are diagnosed with breast cancer have low vitamin D levels. So again, that is something that you can do to kind of reduce your risk. Probably the other thing that's really, really important is early detection. There are guidelines for women who go get their mammograms, and so you want to make sure that you're following those, because the sooner it is detected, if you are one of those people who are going to get it, you want to make sure that you get it as early as possible, because that reduces the amount of treatment, and it's a lot less difficult to go through a battle physically.
And the other thing to keep in mind, too, is breast cancer is not deadly as long as it is contained in the breast. And the earlier you catch it, the more likely you can catch it while it's contained in the breast. And then they can treat it, remove it, whatever they need to do. It's when breast cancer gets outside the breast and begins to make its way to other, you know, organs in your body through the lymph node system generally, and that's when it becomes much more difficult. So you want to catch it early. When we talk about early detection, you know, there's obviously the mammograms, which are very critical, but not all breast cancers are caught or found on a mammogram. Some of them, they're just in places where you can't see them, where the machine doesn't pick it up. If you're young or you have dense breast tissue, which, you know, some women do, dense breast tissue is white on a mammogram, so is cancer. Cancer shows up as a white spot, and so it's harder to see. So it's really important for women to do their own checks to make sure that if they're feeling, we meet so many women who find their own lumps, and then they go in for, you know, to have it looked at. And a lot can change in a year. You know, we talk about having an annual mammogram starting at age 40, which is good. But when I found my second time, I'd had my mammogram in August 03, and then in June of 04, less than a year later, I was in the shower, and I felt it on the other side when I was soaping up. So it was really a deep tumor that had finally gotten big enough for me to feel. Had I waited till August, which would have been another, 2 months, who knows? It was already stage 3 again by the time we caught it, and I found it myself. So, you know, mine is very fast growing. Excuse me. So a lot can change in a year. So that's why you want to make sure you're doing your own checks in between. Don't wait. Just don't assume because it's good now you're going to be good for a year. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah. Also, too, you know, the thing is about lumps that are fascinating. I mean, 80% of the lumps that we actually do feel are nothing, but it's that 20% that can get us.
Yeah.
So if you do feel something that's weird, go in, talk to your doctor. He'll do a clinical breast exam, and if he thinks it's something to worry about, then he'll have you go get a mammogram, even if it's not your year, or maybe you haven't even had one yet. So just making sure you know your own body, and understanding,
something
feels weird, you want to definitely just, you know, get it looked after, just to make sure.
I have a philosophy that I've adopted, and that is that if the doctor ever, I have lumps that kind of land in weird places on me, and I always have them removed, and the doctor's tendency is to say, well, let's just keep an eye on it, we'll watch it. And I just tell them, you know what, I'd rather watch it in a Petri dish. We're not going to watch it in me. So get it out. And we take them out, and, you know, fortunately, for the most part, they are just whatever weird thing. It's not cysts or, you know, who knows what. That's me, though.
Well, I don't blame you, though. I don't blame you, especially being
times.
A three-time. Yeah, you're not going to take any chances, that's for sure. And neither are your doctors.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really important.
I think it's one of those things that everybody has a hidden fear about, but I think the more that we can discuss it openly and let people know how normal it is and teach them things like how do you examine yourself. And a big one is you always, in any medical thing, Dr. Judy was even talking about this last week on the show, you need to be your own advocate. You need to know, because you know you better than anybody does, you know?
Yep.
That's right.
Do you guys...
get very tired, for instance, you know, and it just keeps going on, and, you know, that's not like you, then, yeah, those are the kinds of things that you want to get checked out. If it's something that, you know, can be explained, okay, that's fine. You know, I don't know if you have seen our logo recently, but, you know, it's actually pink and teal. And teal's for ovarian cancer. So we have actually expanded much past breast cancer, and ovarian cancer isn't talked about nearly as much as breast cancer. The problem is with ovarian cancer, there aren't the screening tools that we have for breast cancer. And so you really have to pick up on, you know, kind of more subtle type changes, like, you know, bloating and who isn't bloated, you know. So, I mean, it's one of those things that you really kind of have to pay really close attention. And to your point, be your own best advocate.
Yeah, to that point, Sharon, with ovarian cancer, a lot of the symptoms are just kind of often confused with just having a harder than normal period or developing, you know, you're coming onto your period and you have back lower back cramps and you just feel full around the center. But if that is not, if that's how your periods always feel, that's probably okay. But if that's unusual, doesn't feel the same way, or there's more bleeding than normal, things like that, there are so many symptoms that we mistakenly just kind of ignore. But anything that changes in your body that doesn't, it's not following its normal pattern, is worth talking to your doctor about. Because once they suspect it, there are some tests that they can do where they check levels in your body, and those levels can tell them a better picture of the story. But they don't normally screen unless there's something that they're looking for. And ovarian cancer is one of those things that, unfortunately, by the time a lot of women find it, it's very advanced. And sometimes they get, you know, fortunate because they did pay attention to something and they were able to catch it early. So we are really strong advocates now. We have a lovely lady who is our liaison for ovarian, and she's in the midst of her, I don't know, fourth or fifth battle with it herself.
Crazy.
And she's winning awards and for her work that she's doing. She's pretty incredible. But she's been fighting it like crazy, so she never lets this subject drop.
No, exactly. So
she'd be smiling at us right
in
now.
In her honor, exactly. We got to talk about ovarian cancer, too. And then the reality is, too, because there isn't as much conversation around that, those women need our emotional support as well.
Right.
And other types of women's cancers, you know, I've had people say, well, I don't have the right kind of cancer. You know,
there is no right kind of cancer.
There is no. And honestly, if you have a different kind of cancer and you need our emotional support, we're going to be here for you as well. Obviously, both Becky and I know a lot more about breast cancer because we're both survivors of breast cancer. But the emotional needs that a woman battling whatever kind of cancer certainly needs our emotional support as well.
Steve, one of the things that makes breast cancer probably more alarming than most, and it's kind of the obvious thing, I think, is, you know, as women, we are tied to certain things that are, you know, very sensual parts of us, and to lose your breasts or to have the shape of them change because of lumpectomies and things like that, and then you go into, for those of us who are estrogen positive, they give you drugs to try to remove or reduce the estrogen in your body. So then you go into all kinds of issues there. And then, of course, chemo can, if you're on the edge of maybe going into menopause anyway, chemo can kind of throw you over the edge. So you go into early menopause, your breasts are gone, you're having hot flashes.
You feel like crap.
And then you lose your hair on top of it, and then you lose your eyebrows and your eyelashes. There's a point where a woman will ask herself, am I even still a woman? And you know what the answer to that is? Yes, you are very much still a woman. And the good thing is the hot flashes will reside. The hair will come back. There's all kinds of plastic surgery that they can do. You know, I mean, I had my tummy turned into my breast. I got a little tummy tuck out of it. So it's not the same thing. There's no feeling in them. So it's not the same, and I don't mean to downplay the seriousness of that. But all of those things that we identify with being a female can come back to some degree. And so even though it's really scary when you're first starting out and you're thinking and worried about all these things, there's a huge sisterhood of us out here who get this. And, you know, my husband, who I was worried was going to, you know, ditch me for some 22-year-old size 2 woman, we're celebrating 35 years next month. So he's still with me. He didn't ditch me. So, and Sharon was actually dating. She was dating when she was going through some of this, and she's married now. How many years, Sharon? 11, 12?
Yeah, it'll be 12 years in August.
Yeah, so she has a husband.
There is life after cancer.
There is life after cancer. But so much of that really comes down to our own personal abilities to kind of overcome some of this stuff. And, you know, and that's not easy for some women. And that's truly why we're here. If we can help women overcome this battle that they're in and get them to the other side of this where they can thrive, and I know that that's what your whole passion is around all of this, is to help people thrive, and that is really what we do. Sharon, I have to brag on Sharon for just a second here. Sharon became a certified life coach in
2008.
And using those life coaching skills, she's developed a really brilliant program called Thriving Beyond Cancer. And what she does is, this is a program for women who are at the end of treatment, whose doctor said, you know, you're good to go, done with treatment, we'll see you in about 3 or 6 months, whatever the plan is. And you would think at that moment that women would be very excited that they're done. And actually, during all of that, we're counting down, you know, it's like only one more to go. But then something happens, and you kind of start to panic a little bit. Like, if the doctor lets me go, who's going to be watching me? What if my cancer comes back? What do I do now? You know, everything feels different. So Sharon has been able to take women from that stage right there and help them kind of visualize the next stage of their life, move forward with it, and not only survive breast cancer, but thrive because of breast cancer. And it's a brilliant program. We have about 8 either retreats or workshops. It's about a 2-day intensive kind of program. But when we do the retreats, we have a house that we rent at the beach. We have about 8 women that can go. I think you have one coming up first weekend of May.
May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, in fact. In fact, I actually have 2 more spots if anybody's interested.
But it's a great time of bonding and just really reaching out and connecting with women who are in the exact same place that you're at in your journey, and but really walking out of there with a blueprint. And I'm so proud of Sharon for the work she's done in creating this, and the testimonials that we've had from women have just been phenomenal. So it's a great program, but it is really truly about going from survivor to thriver. And I'm not sure thriver is really a word, but we don't care.
We use it anyway.
Yeah,
we've made it up.
Good word.
So anyway, it's a great program. So I'm really proud of her for what she's created there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Sharon. I think it's so important that in every aspect of our life, in every aspect of our business, that we're always striving for that ability to really thrive in life. That's what our show's here for more than anything else, is to help you thrive. So when you're in these down situations, things that all of us wish would never happen to both ourselves as well as anybody that we know, that you can find a way in the midst of it to thrive, because life doesn't stop, but thriving can happen in the midst of. We're going to actually talk about that a little bit more when we come back from this break.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking, to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. As some of you know, I'm blessed to work with my amazing wife, Kathy, and together we want to help you thrive. Our website is wehelpyouthrive.com. That's what we're passionate about. That is what we do. We help you thrive in both your life and your business. We are so excited to be bringing to you Thriving Entrepreneur every week, and we want to help you thrive in every aspect of your life and business. To show you how grateful we are for you listening to our show, and more importantly, to help you on your road as a thriving entrepreneur, I have recorded chapter one of my book, 10 Things You Must Have to Thrive in Life and Business. This chapter is about finding and following your passion. I wrote it with the intent of helping you find and develop your passion so that you will share your unique brilliance with the world. You know that we are created for a purpose, and we want to help you shine. So just for listening, we are giving you the expanded audio version of Chapter 1 of 10 Things You Must Have to Thrive in Life and Business, to have all you do be something that you are passionate about. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com/radio and enter your name and email address. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com/radio to hear about all our shows and to get your free gift today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, this is Steve. Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur. Sharon and Becky are here sharing with us how to reach out, how to ask for help. But more importantly than just asking for help in your time of crisis is being a person who can be a friend and actually help, not just ask them, how can I help, but actually reach out and help people when they're going through crises like breast cancer, ovarian cancer that we were talking about in the last segment. It is so important that you do reach out for that help. You know, we were talking about in the last segment the ability to be able to thrive beyond breast cancer. I have a really good friend of mine that lives here in Portland, and she told me that the hardest part about her cancer was after she was done. She felt less than human is the phrase she used. And she said it literally took her about a year and a half before she really felt like a human being again. And so I really appreciate you guys for not just dropping people. You know, you get through, the doctor says, okay, you're free and clear, or you're done with chemo, or you know, the different things like that. And then you're like, okay, thanks, appreciate it. You know, we got to move on to the next person. I appreciate that you have programs for them to help them, continue thriving and moving on beyond where they were to the possibilities of the future. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Thriving Beyond workshops really do help validate those feelings that you're talking about. And then they also give the tools necessary to be able to kind of figure out what it is I want to do after all of this craziness is over. Part of the problem with moving on is many women are saddled with side effects that are not, you know, it's not like you're finishing treatment and the side effects just magically disappear. Sometimes they can get worse before they can get better. So whether it's radiation or chemotherapy or, you know, even from the surgeries, there are definitely side effects that we have to kind of work through, and it does take time. And sometimes it can take a couple of years, which is daunting, really, when you're going through it. It doesn't feel like you're ever going to feel the same. But luckily you do, eventually.
I know that Karen said that one of the big things she had to learn was to establish a life for her future, not what was, but to create a new, future to head towards, to have a goal is part of what
exactly
helped her come back to life.
Yeah.
You know, and that is so important. One of the things, and I think it all depends on how you look at your cancer. If you look at it as something that kind of can propel you into that future, that's what I really tried to do with mine. One of my goals in life from early on, I always wanted to be a professional speaker. You know, being up on a stage in front of a bunch of people is thrilling for me. I love that sense. But I found out as I was trying to push my way into the world of public speaking, you actually needed a subject. And I didn't really have one that was that worked for me until I got cancer. And so being able to use my cancer experience and use it to speak, and that's what I do now. That's where I get some of my, we'd call it the twinkle, you know, when you get up, when you have something that just makes you sparkle when you talk about it. And so that's kind of my thing that I love. I love being up in front of people, and so I've used my experience to try to find ways to inspire other women in some other way, to create their bucket list. You know, my when I was first diagnosed, my doctor gave me a 60% chance to survive past 5 years. So I thought, well, if I only have 5 years, what can I accomplish in 5 years? And one of those things was Sharon and I had just gone back to school as adult learners, and we were doing math together in our first semester, and I was diagnosed 3 months into that. And so I decided to stay with school. I did back off my job for a little bit, but I stayed in school because one of my goals was to get my degree. And I thought, well, if I got 5 years, I could probably make that work, right? But then I was really glad my doctors were wrong because it took me 7 years to graduate. But I do have my degree now. And, you know, and that's exciting because it just shows women that you can create those, put down on paper the things that you really have always wanted to do, and don't let cancer or your diagnosis of cancer stop you from achieving some of those things. But it's not only important to write them down, it's important to write them down and then share that goal with somebody. You know, it's amazing the things that people will do for you if they know what your goal is. And, you know, I think that we all have to have a vision and something to look forward to. One of the things we talk to husbands about when their wife is going through cancer, during the day, you know, he can't just quit work probably because it's already a financial burden on many families, so somebody has to probably still bring in a paycheck. But, you know, when you're at work and you think about her even for just a second, text her, send her a message just saying, thinking about you, honey, hope your day's going great. That'll stop those thoughts that
those
I was
demons.
Having.
Yeah, those demons.
Yeah. But just reaching out during the day and giving her, and then just say something like, you know, on your last day of treatment, we'll give it a week and then let's go and to that fancy restaurant you've always wanted to go to. You know, give her something to look forward to. Maybe it's that trip that you've always wanted to take. Start collecting brochures and make a plan. So, you know, who knows how this whole thing's going to go, but give her a vision and a plan, something to look forward to, because that is how a lot of women will get pulled out of this, the really negative place where they might be, is just to have something, you know, exciting on their plate.
Yeah, something,
you know,
exciting to look forward to.
Yeah.
We all need something to look forward to,
yeah.
So that's important.
Yeah.
So I don't want to let this completely, this subject go without being said. Unfortunately, some women are diagnosed with advanced cancer, mm-hmm. with metastatic disease. And I think for anyone who's gone through it, that's like, oh my gosh, that's the worst possible thing that could happen. But the reality is, with the way the treatments are going these days, there are so many wonderful alternatives, and women are living much longer, even with a advanced case of cancer. It's being treated a little more like diabetes or some chronic disease that can be managed. And I met with a woman the other day, and it was so precious. She's young and beautiful and had her share of crazy treatments, and it's been a long road for her. And you know what she said to me? She said, you know what? Cancer has given me the gift of wisdom.
Mm.
And she's she's a young woman. And I would hope, you know, when you get a little older, we all get a little bit more wise. Mm-hmm. But as a young woman, she felt that cancer had given her the gift of wisdom. And I just thought that was so amazing. And the reality is, she may lose this battle with cancer eventually. But you know what? She's alive today.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully she'll be alive tomorrow and next week and next year. And so I want to make sure that your listeners understand that that she needs your help and she needs your compassion as well. So if you know somebody who's going through that as well, that person really does need, because again, it's death and dying and all of this crazy stuff is really hard subjects for us to talk about.
Especially when a person's really young.
Yeah. And so it's just really important for people to understand that don't disappear on them. You know, whether they're just diagnosed or going through advanced disease, these people in your life who are diagnosed need you. They need you, not necessarily to say everything's going to be okay, because it might not be, but they just need you to be in their lives to help them wherever you can. If you love to cook, you know, maybe find out what they like to eat and create something that can be easily either pulled out of the freezer or warmed up, so at least the family has something mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah, because even if she doesn't feel like eating because
exactly.
her stomach's not settling right or something, the family needs to eat, and
absolutely.
That will take the pressure off of her if you brought something by.
Exactly. Tell the story about your cousin coming over with the rubber gloves.
Do we have time or do we need another break?
Well, let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break. And then as soon as we come back, you will tell us about your cousin coming over. We'll be right back.
Perfect.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of Evima Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Told you we were going to take a quick break there. We do want to hear now this story about your cousin coming over. So go ahead and start right back where we left off.
Okay, this is a really sweet story. My cousin called me one day and asked if I was going to be home. And, you know, I hadn't been out of my house in a while. And I said, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. And she goes, well, I'd like to come by and visit. And I said, well, that'd be fine, but my house is a mess. So if you just promise not to, you know, worry about that. She says, you know what, I'm coming to see you, not your house. Well, what she figured out at that moment was that I needed my house cleaned. So she showed up about an hour later. She got my permission to come over. But when she got there, she had a bucket of cleaning supplies, some rubber gloves, and a big stack of CDs to put in my CD player. And when I saw her standing there, she says, well, I'm here to clean your house. You can either take a nap or you can sit and visit, but I'm going to clean your house for you. Well, if she would have called me and said, can I come clean your house or something, I would have said, thank you, but I'm fine, because that's what we do. But,
yep,
you know, she's standing there. What do I do? So I let her come in, and Steve, honestly, her energy that she put her music in, she was dancing around my kitchen, she's scrubbing my counters, and her energy gave me the energy to get up and knock down this cobweb that was in the corner of my dining room that I'd been watching grow for about 6 weeks. And, I mean, it was getting big and fluffy and kind of pretty, sort of. But I had no energy to take it down. I knew it needed to come down. So with all of her energy there, I went and got my broom, and I knocked down that stupid cobweb. You'd think I'd just run a marathon or something. But that's what – she didn't ask if she could come over and clean my house. She kind of figured out a need I had, and then she just came over, and there she was standing there, you know. So,
And I think that's really an important thing to understand because, again – if help is offered, again, as women, we're terrible about taking on that help. And so, like her cousin so smartly handled, you know, it's almost like a sales job. You almost have to say, okay, I want to do this, this, and this for you, so when's a good day to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than yes or no kind of answers.
Yeah. It's the same thing with food. You know, I made a double pot of chili, and I know you like my chili. Can I bring it by at 6? It's not saying, can I make you some chili?
Right.
I've already done it. So is 6 o'clock a good time? Now it's a time question. It's not a yes or, you know, admit that you need my help question.
Yeah.
I had another friend who called me one day, and she said, Becky, I'm running to the grocery store. I have a feeling that you probably need some things. So what's on your grocery list? And it's like, wow, really? So I read her a few things, and she went and got them and brought them to my house. And, you know, those are the kinds of, you know, physical support you can lend a person without asking, I want to do something. Think about, you know, if they have kids, go offer to take the kids out for ice cream so you can have a few minutes to yourself.
Or carpool to soccer or whatever need they have, their particular needs are really, really important.
So those are some things you can do to help a patient going through. I know we're just about out of time, so we wanted to not be remiss in saying that if you also want to help in a bigger way, you know, organizations like Breast Friends, we're always looking for volunteers. We need sponsors. There's a lot of things that you can do. Maybe you don't have the time to give, but you want to support in some way. So consider making donations to charities that you believe in, whether it's if it's Breast Friends or Breast Cancer, we hope it's Breast Friends. But, you know, you might have another cause that you feel more strongly about. So, you know, volunteer for that cause. You know, support them with your financial support, donations of items for auctions, things like that. Those are all really, you know, really important. And, you know, sometimes people won't give unless you ask. So we're asking.
We're small but mighty, as we say. So, you know, the thing is, you can't do what we do just between the two of us. Luckily, after almost 15 years of doing this, we understand it really does take a village. And so everybody is given a God-given talent or ability. And so whether it's, you know, grant writing or, you know, there's lots of other things that people can do, whether it's working in the office or helping with patients, or there's just so many wonderful things that you can do and use your gifts and talents in a way that you'll feel good about it as well.
Well, I would even encourage people, you know, we're always encouraging you to do what you're passionate about, to really share your unique brilliance with the world. In organizations like Breast Friends, come to them with something that they haven't thought of yet. You may have a great idea that would help them, help the folks that they help, that they haven't even thought of. And, you know, great minds think alike, but great minds also come up with some ideas that the other minds didn't think of. So, you know, don't think that just because what you do doesn't seem to be specifically one of the things they mentioned, that you can't be of service. What you do may take their organization to a whole new level that they didn't even think of. Like they said about, you know, moving into ovarian cancer as well, because they have a person, you know, that works with them on that now. How can people get in contact with you with all their great ideas and their willingness and want to help?
Well, they can call us at our office here in Portland. It's 503-598-8048. They can reach out to us through our website at breastfriends.org. They can reach Sharon or me specifically. It's sharon@breastfriends.org or becky@breastfriends.org. Pretty simple. But probably calling is the best. And again, that number is 503-598-8048. And, you know, we're staffed with people here. We have volunteers that work in the office. We would love to talk to you, get your ideas. You know, we had one such situation exactly like that. We had a photographer and a makeup artist who offered to do, you know, a thing for us. We ended up creating a program called Bald is Beautiful, and it's something we wanted to do because we saw samples of these beautiful bald-headed children. But we now have a program here for women going through chemo and hair loss. They get a free makeover. They get their photos done, and it's quite lovely. We've got a whole wall full of them, and it's beautiful. And now that has expanded into a program called Brave and Beautiful. We're looking for partners on that to offer an assortment of services, house cleaning, daycare, meal service, delivery, all kinds of things. I know we don't have time to go into it, but that's something that we'd love to talk to people about if they want to help with that kind of a program. We're looking for volunteers and sponsors, you know, if they don't have the time but they want to support that program. We have this vision of how we see it working, but it's going to take some money to make that happen too. So we would love to hear from you, hear your ideas, get you on the team to help us create that program. So
absolutely. That's for metastatic women, by the way.
So the number is 503-598-8048. They would love to hear from you. Ladies, just real quick, first of all, let me tell you how much I appreciate you spending your time this morning on the show with us. What's one thing that, whether you're going through it or have gone through it, that a person can do to really thrive right now today?
Well, I think hope is probably the most important thing. And if you're feeling that hope waning, that's our job here, is to find that for you, to help you find it. Because, again, we all might as well pack up our tent, really, and go home if we don't have hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the one biggest thing that, mm-hmm. that Breast Friends can offer you.
Yeah. And with all the trials and everything going on, you never know what next cancer drug is going to be the one that just kicks it right in the hiney and knocks it out the door. So, and that's part of that hope. So get involved. If your doctor recommends a trial, consider it, because you just never know. That could be the very one that kicks it. And that's how they've discovered so many treatments that work very, very well, is trials. So there's just don't give up. There is hope. Always. There's always hope.
Sharon and Becky, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Again, if anybody wants to get in contact with you, that's 503-598-8048 to contact Breast Friends. Thank both of you for being on the show today, and thank you to all the listeners. Remember, folks, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose, and the world needs you. We're here to help. Next week, we're going to talk to you about putting off procrastination. So join us again next week. In the meantime, you need to thrive. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. As some of you know, I'm blessed to work with my amazing wife, Kathy, and together we want to help you thrive. Our website is wehelpyouthrive.com. That's what we're passionate about. That is what we do. We help you thrive in both your life and your business. We are so excited to be bringing to you Thriving Entrepreneur every week, and we want to help you thrive in every aspect of your life and business. To show you how grateful we are for you listening to our show, and more importantly, to help you on your road as a thriving entrepreneur, I have recorded chapter one of my book, 10 Things You Must Have to Thrive in Life and Business. This chapter is about finding and following your passion. I wrote it with the intent of helping you find and develop your passion so that you will share your unique brilliance with the world. You know that we are created for a purpose, and we want to help you shine. So just for listening, we are giving you the expanded audio version of Chapter 1 of 10 Things You Must Have to Thrive in Life and Business. To have all you do be something that you are passionate about, all you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com. youthrive.com/radio and enter your name and email address. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com/radio to hear about all our shows and to get your free gift today.
Cool.
Thank you so much. I hope you guys didn't just get cut off.
Oh, I think we're good.
Okay,
we knew it was
good.
Coming.
Yeah.
All right. Steve.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Let me know if there's anything
right.
that Kathy or I can do for you.
Okay.
Thank
thanks.
You.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.